This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
So I was hoping that maybe to begin, you could explain what you understand stars to be or what it means for you, what that period, that movement means for you as an artist. And maybe we could move from there into what Huang Rui understands stars to mean today.
Sure. I met Huang Rui, I mean, just interesting to look back. I met him actually at the first time when I made my first performance work in a performance festival that we both were invited to. And actually, I've never heard of the stars movement before I met Huang Rui. I've heard of, you know, the Sidan democracy war movement, but, you know, I've never heard of something called the stars. And, you know, when I met Huang Rui the first time, you know, it's my beginning of the journey as an artist. But I was, at that time, an NGO worker. And I, you know, later on, I went on to pursue my master's degree as a sociologist. You know, I've always studied sociology, and then, you know, I pursue my career in NGOs. And so it is something new to me to know that there is something called the stars. And what fascinated me at that time as a sociologist and a new artist was that it was not an occasion, it's more like a social protest, it's more like a social movement that actually a group of artists at that time very, very openly first of all, try to organize an exhibition that is against the official discourse or official order. They try to actually organize their own exhibition outside of the most official and authoritative art museum in Beijing, which is the National Art Museum. At the same time, when the first art exhibition after the Cultural Revolution opened officially inside that museum, they tried to organize their own exhibition outside on the fence of that museum. And that very show, of course, was censored. And they didn't just say, okay, of course, our show got censored, and, you know, that's the end of the story. They actually tried to actually organize a protest and march on the city, on the streets of Beijing. So it, for me, was, wow, this spirit of, you know, artists, not just about painting and showing their paintings, but also to pursue some kind of social and political agenda was very fascinating for me.
他想问你，就是星星，他问我星星对我来说是什么？我介绍了一下，那对你来说星星是怎么样的一回事？然后，其实星星它的发生呢，它是当然是在北京。 可是它是经历了毛泽东时代，毛泽东时代结束以后，政治上有一个反馈，也仍旧在政治权力上有一个空白期，可是，在民间里边有很多不满的声音，认为文化大革命呢，给老百姓带来的灾难太大了，给老百姓的个人生活。 带来的影响是很悲惨的，特别是在文化方面，比如说我们具体到艺术上，它就是弘光亮，它也是一种权威，指导所有的艺术品按照一种模式来制造出来。这个时间呢，已经持续了很长时间，因为老一代的艺术家，他们从比如说中国传统那边过来的一些艺术家。 他们在文化革命的时候，他们也都是停止他们的工作，当然相继是去世了。还有一些人是从苏联留学回来，或者是从法国留学回来，他们是学校里边的老师，在这个时候，他们也是不能很快的适应政治上的要求，就是在这么一个完全经济生活一段比一段落后。 而且在文化上变成一个完全空白期的一个时间，是有一段需要思考。那时候年轻人有一种动力，觉得必须要出来，形成一种声音， 是对那个以前的政治上的一种啊一种弥补吧，或者一种自觉上的一种觉醒吧。
嗯，我先说。嗯。At that time, the social or political, you know, background is that it was right after the Cultural Revolution. I can say that was a period of emptiness, you know, continuing after the Cultural Revolution. If you know a little bit during the Cultural Revolution, all the schools, all the creative activity was banned. It was all limited to, you know, the what is allowed within, you know, the Communist Party. And so it even for the artists and painters, older artists and older painter, there is a period of complete emptiness, and that emptiness actually continue after the Cultural Revolution. And it's also the art or the creation at that time is still a tool for the government or for the authority to, you know, it's to under the control of the authority. So for the young people at that time, it's a period to rethink, and also there is some kind of a need to want to express something different from this emptiness or this control by the authority.
其实因为我们都是在北京长大的，我们形成了有一种就是在那个时候文化革命中期的时候，差不多是从林彪啊，林彪是毛泽东的这个接班人，他死掉以后，我们的地下沙龙就开始活动了。当然围绕这个地下沙龙主要的身份就是诗人们，还有一些人写小说，还有一些人作曲，这些人呢在当时那个年代都是和整个社会完全脱节的，可是非常年轻，没有人超过20岁。
嗯，well, actually, at that time, right after Lin Biao, which is the predecessor of Mao Zedong, passed away in 1971, already some underground salon began in Beijing, but that was mostly centered around poets and some composers. And these are all very, very young artists, but mainly poets and composers that are not over 20 years old. But, you know, we all grew up in Beijing, so we all...do something.
从我个人来说，我是在这个圈子里头，接受的影响比较大。诗人那时候比艺术家们要进步，因为你看诗是非常直接的文字，而且译诗呢也是比较简单。我们那时候看不到比较好的画册。
As an artist, for me, I actually hang around more with poets than artists.Because at that time, we don't have any access to really good catalogs or, you know, other means of seeing arts from elsewhere. For me, reading a poem is very direct. It's very simple, it's very direct, so I hang out mostly with poets.
但是这些无论是诗人也好，或者是试图做一些音乐、作曲啊、做文学的，还有做艺术的人都好，他们都是从传统和政治现实里头脱节，接受西方文化的影响。
Sorry, and he also said that this group of people are very, very disconnected from the bigger society. And this group of people, no matter they're poets, composers, artists, we are all a group of people that are disconnected and also a lot influenced by the West.
所以其实我是在这个影响下，我一直追求一种就是和因为我和我的家庭我们家庭虽然这个兄弟姐妹很多，家庭的影响呢也是所谓的在政治上是比较正面的。那么一直是在一种地下的这个环节里边，我们去在那个看看西方的小说、西方的文学和听西方音乐，然后我们去捕捉一些新鲜的东西的时候，比如说。我最早去看印得很不好的像那个印象派和毕加索的画册的时候，我们非常直接的觉得这是最新鲜的，而且是正是我们要的东西。
嗯 ，Well, I grew up in a very traditional big Beijing family. I have lots of brothers and sisters, but I have a pretty good family, you know.Education, which means that I'm exposed to a lot of music from the West, know, catalogs from the West, poetry or literature from the West. For example, like at that time, we have, you know, some very, very rare chances to see some very poorly printed catalog from Picasso or, you know, impressionist painting. For at that time, when I look at those things, I thought, wow, this is the newest, the best, and that's what we want to achieve.
所以随着1978年开始有一个民主墙的活动的时候，我们自然就出来了。诗人们，比较有名的啊，北岛和芒克还有我组成了一个今天的地下文学。然后很快呢，我觉得因为在地下文学的这个刊物里头，我担任一个美编这个工作很无聊，我也马上就在第二年1979年就开始和马德生发起了这个星星美展，基本上就是这么一个背景。
So, right after the Cultural Revolution, 1978, when the Sedan Democracy War movement began, very naturally, you know, that the thing that has been brewing in us for so long time, it all came out. So with Beidou and Wang Ke, we found a magazine called Today.And, you know, we started to express, you know, whatever we were expressing underground before. And also in 1978, you know, we organized this show of the stars with some other artists.
Do you think you could both maybe speak to this topic we had talked about earlier, namely expression, and how for you expression is something that...is to be understood publicly, and it involves a claiming, perhaps, of space. It's performative. And the way that, in a way, with stars, with today, with your work, in this period, there's kind of a constant attempt to claim a space for expression, for public expression, that is an ongoing negotiation, let's say. And I mean, I'm asking this because I think expression, maybe we understand it less publicly, perhaps, here in the States. And so we were talking about earlier expression being understood publicly in your case.
How do I translate that?
应该你直接介绍你自己，你从一开始
你明白他问的问题吗？
大概知道，
就是他说表达这个可能在西方他们的表达跟我们说的表达，我们说的表达很多时候都是一个公众的表达，但是可能他们并不一定是这样去界定。那我们的表达是不是有一个是，尤其是公共空间的一个重新的，就是取回，然后就是去办一些展览。For me, well,
this is Silan speaking.
Yes, yes, I am speaking. Well, I'm speaking for myself. Well, because how I came to performance art is a little bit.It's a little bit of the same reason why I, you know, study sociology and why I later choose to become an NGO, work for NGO. And then, you know, it's just like a very natural evolution. I don't know if it's evolution, but it's the same reason I want to make some social impact. You know, it could be through my NGO work. And later I discovered that while I was doing my NGO work, that, you know, there's some...very little people are talking about cultural thing, and maybe a lot of the problems we see related to a lot of material issues, no matter is, you know, water, education, food, a lot of these problems actually comes more from how people think about things. And then I start to think about, you know, how do I do something that is, you know, not related just about the very material things, but the very basic thing about thinking. Well,you know, I think one of a very good way is through, you know, artistic expression. So that's how I came to start making performances. And a lot of my performance art practice, and even now when I do installation, it involve doing things in a public setting. And I don't know, I'm always interested in, if it, as an artist, one of the things I'm interested in is howto not make things, not make, how do you say, how to present things to people that does not come actually to want to look at art, but, you know, to put things in a context where no matter people think whether they're looking at a piece of art or not, but that work is going to make some speak to them. So I want to make work not so much in an art context, but more in you know whatever in a more public and bigger context. So a lot of my performance work, if you see later in some of my documentation of performance, some of them are during social protests, some of them are during some kind of a social movement advocating for something, that, you know, a lot of the time they're in public space, even though I'm being offered maybe a gallery space or a theater space, I choose to do it in the public. Even this project with the fine art department, I've been presented with the opportunity to work in the Morgan Physical Lab, but, you know, my intuition, again, is to, I want to do something in the campus, because, you know, I want to try to reach out to a different kind of public.
Yeah. 所以其实如果介绍自己的时候, 我也必然在介绍这个环境, 因为你当一名艺术家, 你不可能脱离这个环境, 因为我是从北京的政治环境里出来的, 在北京这个政治环境, 可以说, 艺术家的生活, 它也是很普通的, 一方面它非常普通, 就跟大家一样的这个生活, 而且在北京的艺术家也很多, 可能是数量最多的一个城市了, 我觉得如果提起来, 北京作为一个艺术家居住的城市比较的话, 宋庄一个地区, 就住了5000多名艺术家, 但是这些人的这些生活, 如果 我们发表作品, 我们尝试和其他的人交流的时候, 随时碰到一个问题, 如果你是个性的, 而且不是一些政治运动安排好的, 不是在这个机构里, 政府和政府有关系的一个机构里安排的, 那么马上出现了矛盾, 这样的矛盾呢, 有可能是每一天发生的, 所以我当时我说整个的一个背景的时候, 在北京, 它这就是你的日常, 你和这个社会生活, 也和当地的文化打交道, 也和政治对你的控制, 是分不开的, 另一方面, 因为它还是有一些强大的, 从经济来的, 从历史传统上来的, 控制力, 所以你还是要抵消这个控制力, 证明你宣告你是清白的, 那么永远, 如果我要介绍我自己的时候, 我都不能脱离这些环境。
If I have to introduce myself, I can't escape the bigger context that where I am from, where I grew up. I grew up in Beijing, I'm from Beijing. Beijing, you know, I'm an artist, so, you know, yeah, my daily life, if you look at a daily life of an artist, I have my daily life, you know, is maybe not much difference from other people, but Beijing is a city that is full of artists. I can say maybe the most artists in the world live in Beijing. Just in one artist district of Beijing, in Songjiang, there are more than 5,000 artists officially recorded. So, you know, but all these artists, I can say, as soon as they have to have some kind of a interaction, daily interaction with other people, no matter from what kind of background, they're bound to have some kind of conflict, because there is still the control from no matter social, political, and traditional arenas that, you know, that had some kind of pressure on the artist's life.
所以在我的经历里面，如果这个社会这个环境就是你的身后的这个环境， 如果他们能够对艺术提供一点兴趣， 一点理解和一点支持的话， 那么是一个好像是一个梦一样。 如果， 当然我是一直有一个幸运去参与一些最终也可以说没有完全失败的工作， 比如说星星的这个活动也是一样， 发起七度八的活动，也是引起了很大的影响，引起了城市的一个小小的变革，城市保护一部分旧的建筑变成了一个新的艺术区。但是很多情况对于我个人的影响和干扰，直到前年还存在，2010年还存在。所以我终于说，这两年没有人来干扰我了，他们给我一点点在我身边的容忍，我已经非常感谢。
嗯，你说就是最近这两年还存在是吧？
就是到2010年还取缔了我的这个作品的展览。
嗯嗯
嗯。但是就这样的这个一些记录一直存在。
So I have to say that it's almost like a dream if I can tell you that there is no intervention or no pressure on me as an artist, or there is some kind of social political support to my work, that would almost be like a dream, because I can tell you up until, although I've done something that is maybe somewhat successful, like the STARS movement, like the support of this advocate for the preservation of the 798 district, but still I can still tell you that up until, you know, 2 years ago, some of my work or some of my shows are still being censored. And, you know, even nowadays, you know, I could still say I still feel that kind of pressure every day.
Could we talk about this sense of pressure, this conflict, this tension? You've also said that your work thrives on this conflict and this tension as much as it threatens your work. Your work also feeds off of it. Could I ask you to both speak about this issue of conflict? And,
他说这个压力是不是也虽然是阻碍了你的工作，但是不是也你从这个里面也做出了很多的。
And like Tiananmen, the massacre is also the reason that your practice shifts and becomes something that moves from painting also to performance. And post Tiananmen, there's also a way that your artistic practice changes and expands.
其实一方面来说，你作为艺术家已经生活起来很不容易，因为你是一个基本上是一个孤立的存在。特别是如果你有创作的动力的时候，你的这个创作的欲望，让你告别了现实的生活，你对这个干扰你就不太在意了。这个时候很好。如果你在创作力和创作状态时候给你一个限制，你非常尴尬，你不知道生活怎么去对付。但是在这种尴尬的情况，往往是你一个人面对你的作品的时候，如果这种尴尬它变成了环境对你的控制的时候，那时候你有一种动力，你可能要考虑其他的问题，你不是考虑你自己面对一个具体的作品，所以你有可能你去考虑啊，那么现在压迫你的是社会问题或者是政治问题，那么政治问题可能不是那么简单，有可能是这个时代带来的，也可能是这个制度带来的，也有可能是这个历史带来的。你经常就想，哦，那我可能我要做一个作品和历史的问题和我们生活的整个的传统一些线索发生关系，那时候有的时候给你一点点新的 idea 在这里面。
I have to say being an artist is not in itself not an easy thing. It's a very lonely process. Is, you know, a lot of time the artist in terms of curation, in terms of living, is not easy for an artist. But if we talk about the political and social pressure, if you're as an artist, if you're not only faced with you and your work, but also you have this bigger social political pressure that make your curation somehow restrained, it puts you in a very, he used the term embarrassing, but I would translate it as a very dilemma kind of situation. But this dilemma actually sometimes forces you to not just face your work, but also ask why I cannot make this work. So you start to look at the bigger context. Is it something to do with the social system? Is it something to do with the history? So it forces you to think of a much bigger context that is actually restraining you to freely express it. And sometimes it can give you some very good ideas. What is the question again?
So maybe in your work as well, it's not just Tiananmen, but there are a series of social tensions and conflicts that your work typically responds to and engages.
Mm-hmm.
And could you talk about, in a way, is there a methodology here? It's not that you're seeking out the conflicts and mm-hmm. trying to aestheticize them, but could you talk about the way that your work is somehow always in response to, or would you say it's responsive to the social tensions that you're also negotiating? As a resident of Beijing, let's say, or as, in a more cosmopolitan way?
Well, I think a lot of my performance work is somehow my response to, you know, what I think, like a lot of artists, I have something to say. So, you know, I make something happen, you know, be it installation, painting, that the basic point is I want to express something. And for me, a lot of my performance work, well, what I feel or what make me want to express is a lot of these social situations where I feel angry, where I feel sad, where I feel, you know, or some kind of emotion or some kind of other thing that I don't even know how to express it. So I found the form, you know, in terms of performance art to express it. And a lot of my performance art is not even... is not telling a story, is not telling you to support or not support something. It's more about create how these conditions make me feel and what kind of is creating some kind of a condition or a situation that, you know, somehow is how these events make me feel. So I don't know if that answers your question.
In class today, my students and I, we were reading and discussing Ai Weiwei's blog book. The blog, which by virtue of its censorship also, with it being taken down, it also kind of reappeared in the form of a publication translated into English. And one clearly gets the sense there in his blog post of a deep concern about the erasure of memory mm-hmm. in modern China. This is something we've talked a lot about. The way that you are each as artists and as individuals negotiating this erasure of memory, both through your artwork, but also in your neighborhoods, more generally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could talk a bit about this and what the stakes are. And it's something that seems to, in the conversations that we've had, it comes up. It's not just a passing kind of topic or tension.
Mm-hmm. 就是或者是把那个不是回忆记忆这个洗掉这个问题他说好就是他在看艾薇薇的那个博客那个给人家取走了现在有出版了然后我们也经常谈到在我们的作品里面也有说就是可不可以谈一下这个为什么会经常有这样的
所以你让我谈
你先说吧
我觉得在艺术作品里把回忆的一种现实资料很清楚地放在里边有的时候不够现实因为艺术呢它需要提供一种假象这样呢这种假象呢它是在一个我觉得经常的比较好的作品是这样的就是它是用技术材料的表现出来了如果是一个平面作品如果是一个我自己也做那个行为作品我做行为作品的时候我经常考虑这个空间的距离比如说作为我和一个观众之间的这个距离的计算还有一个时间的这个计算可能还有动作和声音的这个计算所以所有的问题如果是非常具体的话它会停顿会变成非常具体的一个小东西这些小东西呢它会固定这个符号在这个记忆里边所以我经常呢是提出一种 跨越性的记忆。你比如说，就说这个 China， 就是你通过 China 这个声音拆掉这个声音，这是一个跨越性的记忆，可是它非常不具体，但是它又是一个玩笑，又是一个记忆，它就是正好解决了时间和空间这么一种关系，虽然它是荒诞的。
哇，很难翻译啊。I think if talking about memory, to directly put some, you know, memory, or I think what he meant is some, like, you know, archive images or, you know, something related to the past into the work is not enough, is too superficial. He thinks a lot of time a good artwork is using very basic things, be it two-dimensional or, you know, I myself use performance art. When I do performance art, I consider a lot of things like my distance with the audience, the timing, my action, and these small little things actually form into a bigger sign or icon. And for example, another work of mine called China, you know, this he did a bunch of silkscreen paintings with the text China, which is also the title of this project. It creates some kind of cross-dimensional memory. It's at the same time a joke, but it's at the same time also a memory. So there's a crossover of a two-dimensional, not two-dimensional, but a cross. Cross generation, crossover kind of memory, so it's more complicated.
好在在中国，通过记忆和确认这种记忆的存在，视觉艺术啊有一个比较好的位置，因为视觉艺术本身它就是一个独立操作的。你可以说艺术家我一个人就做一个作品。也可以说一个私密的隐秘的个人空间，我对几个观众做行为艺术也可以。但是这一点呢，其他的比如说你写一本新的历史，你有一些具体的确证，比如说你就是介绍天安门事件这个时间，那么很多这样的一本书，一个有确认历史的确认记忆的这个书是不能在中国出版的。另外，我有很多其他的朋友，比如说剧作家，他们不能写这个剧本。如果写这个剧本，基本上这剧本是在中国不能演出。
But of course, being a visual artist, you have some comparative advantage. You know, you could express more or less what you want to express on your painting at home. You know, if you are working in your studio, you can.You know, paint or put whatever you want. And if you're a performance artist, you can also just invite your friends and do some very private performance work. But if you are a writer, if you are a playwright, or, you know, like some of my friends, you can write them, but you can't really publish these books or these, you know, you can't really stage these plays.
And could you speak to the issue? I guess I also mean sociologically,
mm-hmm.
not just how you're negotiating it as an artist, but also sociologically.
Mm-hmm.
This sense that one's living in a society that's erasing its own past. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, that's something that actually I was born in China, I grew up in Hong Kong, and then I was working mainly in China in rural areas, and I travel a lot all over China, and that's something that, you know, I still am asking Huang Rui yesterday, that why this country, why are we so almost like, you know, so easily just say, you know, it's not just something about, it's a narrative, it's not just about or preserving or turning down a temple, it can go down to something just very, very small in daily life. You can see the attitude of people towards their home. If you, for example, in Beijing, if you go to some of the people's house, you go into there, you feel that there is like they could just move tomorrow, or you know, the day after tomorrow. It's the how the things that are arranged. And Huang Rui was saying that yesterday he went to a Tibetan area and to compare the Tibetans and the Chinese that are living there. The Chinese are much more wealthy than Tibetans, but the Chinese, the house and the way how they arrange the house is just like so chaotic, there's no respect. And I feel very much the same, and it's something that I still don't understand. It's not just about erasing memories, almost like there's just... Is this a sense of urgency that we always somehow someone will come to, you know, destroy some things, so we're not used to do things in a very long-term way? Or is it because Chinese are so flexible that we think that doesn't matter if this thing breaks, we just throw it away, we'll just get something done very, very fast? I still don't have an answer. And it's not just about, you know, of course, it's about a lot of cultural artifacts, a lot of traditional things being destroyed, but it's also just this very basic respect towards your environment. I still don't see that, and I still don't know why. So that's something that I, you know, sometimes I talk about in my work.
Perhaps as a next question, could we talk about what it means to be independent, in at least in Beijing or in the cultural communities that you're part of and in China right now? I mean, unlike here in the United States, there's not necessarily a government support. There's not necessarily a nonprofit kind of philanthropic sector. There's the market. And so being independent has to be understood in that context. One doesn't necessarily negotiate the question of independence in the same way that you might here in the States. Could you talk a bit about how you're negotiating, or how you, if this is the way you would think about the construction of your practice, your identity as an artist, what it means to be independent to you, given the different realities, let's say, that you negotiate?
我觉得最近在中国的情况，大陆的情况有一些改变，当然香港的情况，它的这个。 他的艺术界的情况也是在改变，在大陆开始了新的政策，就是他们要支持文化，以后的这个经济发展，它要走两条路，一个是经济，一个是文化，所以文化呢也是带领经济的一部分，这个非常有意思，因为他们现在也开始了像香港的大学一样的政策，你比如说前两年他们把很有名的一个艺术家。 徐冰叫到这个中央美院去当了担任他们的副院长，也有一些在国外，其实他们的创作已经就比较在这个国际艺术舞台上露了头角的一些人，其实都有一种呼唤啊，你可以回来，有很多人就是这样的，在这个美术学院至少给你一个系主任当一当，都是很好的待遇，马上的就是比如说住房。 其他的这个工资的条件和画室的条件都是会提供的，而且，在这个政府的机构里边也新设立了当代艺术委员会、当代艺术院，这些机构呢是也是吸收一部分独立艺术家，比如说像宋冬、李就珍这样的，像王功勋这样的，他们也是进入了当代委员会，也有当代的艺术院。 那么实际上，他的称呼呢，就是加上了一层官制的称呼，他就变成了一个教授了，变成了一个研究员了，是吧？那么也变成了一个院士，所以这个事情呢，都带来一个非常复杂的情况，就是什么就是变成是独立的。另外一方面，像我先翻译这部分。Actually,
the situation changes in China a lot in the recent years. You know, the government has a bigger and bigger budget for cultural development. And when they talk about development right now, they say, you know, economic development and cultural development. For example, if you see from the academies, art academies in China, they actually are recruiting a lot of overseas Chinese, you know, Chinese artists that move overseas, and now they're asking them to come back. For example, Xu Bing, who used to lived in America for many years, now is actually teaching at CAFA. So they use very, very good terms to ask these Chinese artists to come back to teach, you know, contribute to the country. They offer them very good package, and at least you could either be a department head or you can be a researcher. And another thing is they actually recently opened up in the government called Committee for Contemporary Art. You know, and they invited very high-profile, well-known artists like Song Dong, Ying Xiuzhen, to you know, to be the committee. So you have one more title. You know, is almost like you're officially approved kind of not professor, but you know, you're like a researcher. You're almost like a committee that represent the government for contemporary art.
But this is for Huang, so, a compromised kind of position.
Yeah, so it's very complicated. How do you define independent now?
但是，比如说在这个宋庄是另外一个情况。宋庄我刚才说了，已经有五千人在住在那边，他们是靠艺术来生活的。他们靠什么艺术什么来生活呢？他不是像我们说的这个前者一样，学校给你安排了一个很好的位置，或者是艺术机构给你安排了一个很好的位置，你可以两条路走，两条道走路。一方面，你的作品仍旧放在画廊、拍卖会和国外市场上去发表；另一方面，你走国内的这条正统的这路。而且，中国有一个新的计划，就是博物馆和美术馆的建造计划。这个几年之内会建造几百个或一千个，达到一千个美术馆。他们现在有这个计划，有没有收藏品的这计划？肯定的，制造了美术馆，他们就有一些藏品的计划。那么你进入了这个机构，你就有可能你的作品被选择。
So a third thing is China is going to build within these several years over 1,000 museums, you know, all over China. So when you have museums, you have to have collections. So, you know, once you're in their plan, so you know there might be a way for artists to get into the collection of these over 100 museums in a few years. And but if you look at the artists from Songzhuang, just then I mentioned there are over 5,000 artists living in this artist district in Beijing. They live a very different reality. It's not like they have an official job at the academies. It's not like they have like official committee that, you know, invite them to some kind of official positions. They have a very different reality to negotiate.
And can you talk a bit about this as well?
For me, it's kind of strange because, you know, I'm a little bit of not exactly an outsider, but, you know, I'm not exactly Chinese. I was born in China, but I grew up in Hong Kong. So I was not exactly Chinese. I still have the Hong Kong system, which is not exactly like the Chinese system. But then in Hong Kong, I'm not exactly very Hong Kong either because, you know, I don't spend a lot of my time there. So being independent for me, well, I've tried to, you know, do my own projects. I've tried to organize my own projects and... I think it's just making the best of what I could at the moment. But of course, you know, I sometimes think about these other resources that are not available to the Chinese artists. A lot of times it's because of the language problem. I think the Chinese artists they could potentially apply to a lot of other funding organization, you know, call for proposals. The problem is the language. A lot of Chinese artists do not have, you know, either access to this kind of information or, you know, the language issue. Mm-hmm. But it's beginning to change as well because there's more and more art publication and also art website that actually are bilingual. They're trying to build a bridge between, you know, what the information that is circulating internationally, or I should say in the West, and, you know, the news that is happening in China. So it's the landscape is changing very, very quickly.
But aren't you both being very polite? Like, we've spent We've had many conversations about a deep concern that you have about the market, about the government schools, about, in a certain sense, the impossibilities of trying to be independent of all of these compromising mm-hmm. spaces, and at the same time, the need to subvert and resist them. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to talk a bit in that direction? I mean, when we've talked about independent, being independent before, it's been this really difficult negotiation and struggle. Mm-hmm. But that which you are trying to resist is deeply problematic, it seems, also for you.
Mm-hmm. 你明白他问什么，就是关于这个艺术市场，还有这个美院这个系统。
我觉得现象就是这样一个现象，而且呢，在这种双层的利益引诱之下，一般中国的艺术家选择了接受这种引诱，一般的中国很多中国的艺术家他接受这种情况，其实我自己本身遇到这个很多这样的场合，就是。 容忍这种情况，是艺术家承认这个现实，好像变成了一种共同默契的方式，就无论是在一些讨论会上，还是在一些开幕式，或者是一些宴会，或者一些这个表彰仪式，因为现在也有一些文化奖出来了，表彰仪式。 或者一个媒体的开幕式，就是创刊号的开幕式，这种场合呢，都可以看见，其实各种利益者、共同利益者同在。那么就是接受是大部分我那个年代或比我年代年轻的一些艺术家，如果他们在场的话，他们不会公开表示他们反对或者自己。
If you have to talk about reality, reality is the reality. So for a lot of Chinese artists, is the seduction is, you know, of the market is very, very big. So from my generation, the younger generation, I would say a lot of artists have actually, you know, just followed this seduction. You can see a lot of times in openings or some art events. Well, it's that they wouldn't very, if you can see these traces of art market, or you wouldn't see a lot of artists very openly express their opinion about these things, even though it might not be exactly right, but they choose to not say anything. And so it's, again, you know, being independent is a very complicated thing. For me, I think it's a very...
Meaning you?
Yeah, for me. Well, now I'm speaking for me. It's a very complicated thing to look at, because, well, I want to think that as a good artist, as a successful artist, I should be able to make a living doing what I like to do. You know, so I should be able to sustain myself through the art practice. And then when you look at, so how could I do that? Well, you make work, you sell work. So, and who is, like, how are you going to do that? Well, you work with a gallery, you know. But then when you start to think about that, it's not exact. Then you're thinking about, so then you have to think about the art market. You have to think about pricing your work. You have to think about a lot of these things that sometimes might not exactly be what I like to do most, but it's something that I think an artist have to deal with. But then what, like, or, you know, or my other strategy is to say, well, you know what, I don't want to relate my art to money at all. I just find a job and then, you know, I just make whatever I want. But then Is that some kind of compromise? Is that, you know, how do I negotiate this relationship with the market? It's still something that I'm asking myself. Yeah.
Do you see the market as being more of a risk in China than the market in the United States is for artists working in the United States?
A risk? What do you
mean? Yeah, I mean, is it more of a, is it is there a bigger aversion or to be independent and to be engaged in the market is a big, is more problematic in China than to be independent and to be engaged in the market in the United States?
But you would also say there's no other option.
But it's a different question, though. 他的问题是为什么我们会觉得就是。 如果你是可以独立自主，然后又跟这个艺术是就是有关，就是市场上成功，是不是一定是对立的呢？为什么？我觉得市场上的成功，特别是在中国市场，它本身是一个不正常的一个市场。我觉得成功本身和这个市场可能。 不是应该是矛盾的，可能在一个更长的时间，更会脱离这种具体的矛盾。就是因为现在的中国的市场，艺术市场，它基本收藏家的目的就是投资，因为他们都是在这个买作品和卖作品之间循环的流通，所以这个钱呢，就是什么样的。 作品流通的好，他们就集中他们的资产去购买什么样的作品。现在这个钱是这么一种流通，可是艺术的作品呢，实际上应该和这个分开。但是如果是很重要的，在艺术史上发生了一定影响的这样的作品，也会有一个市场。比如说我的一张作品。 去年一个很小的作品卖掉了，在我不知道的情况下，他也卖得很贵。当然，也有一些像这个过去没有那么有名的艺术家，其实他只不过发生了一点点，他是在整个的85新潮那个大环境里，曾经被艺术史记录，就周春芽的一张作品，结果卖了几千万。就是在这种交错的这个错乱当中，基本上是投资的错乱时中。 可是少数的艺术家，他可以在这个艺术史里记录下作品的时候，这个艺术市场，他也经常在这个好像投入一道光一样，有一点点照顾，就是这个事情是，其实我们自己很不理解的一件事情。 I think in the Chinese, it does not necessarily have to be. How do you say, opposite, you know, being a good artist and commercially successful. I think in the long term, it could show a good artist can also be very commercially successful. But the problem is today's Chinese art market is very weird. It's a very strange market. Most of the collector, I can say, they buy art for investment. Is a form of investment for them. So, for example, one of my work very recently, a very small painting was sold for a lot of money. I don't even know it. For example, some other artists, they are being wrote in the Chinese art history in the 1985 art movement. So, some of their not very good work are sold for like millions of dollars. But that's a process of a very strange kind of a very fast turnover of investment. So that's the result of it. So, you know, that's one of my answer to that is, I don't know. I think on one hand, I would like to think that, you know, a good artist should also be commercially successful, can also be, because if, you know, if something is really, really good, then it should also represented in some kind of a capital value. But on the other hand, you know, there is always this question of the kind of work that one is making, if it's really something that criticizes the system or criticizes, you know, the system of these things, is it ever going to be, you know, accepted by the system? That's one way, because a lot of people look at the things that I'm doing and say, well, your works are, you're never going to make money with what you're, you know, a few signs you're doing, a few banners you're making. Do you think you're going to make a living out of this? You know, Or so this is always this, or one thing I'm thinking is, well, no matter what, I think if I am doing something good enough, then, you know, I should be able to make a living out of it. The reason why I'm not yet being able to make a living out of it is just I'm not doing it good enough. That's, you know, that's also one of the thinking. So I still have to keep working.
Could I want to leave time for you to respond to questions, or perhaps to ask everybody else questions. But maybe one last question that I'd ask is, last night I had kind of projected, and I had said that, you know, it's a very difficult life to be an artist right now in Beijing. We had been talking about the conditions you are negotiating, your cultural community is negotiating, and I had said it's incredibly difficult series of negotiations that the artist is asked to perform. And then Huangrei, you had responded and said, actually, when I look on the street here, it seems actually like it's very difficult here to be an artist. And could you both talk about this in a way? What is it when you? It's not that both of you haven't been to the United States before, but when you come here, what do you imagine the difficulties to be that an artist has to negotiate and face?
昨天你说的在这里做艺术家很难，他说你在美国你看到什么，你觉得艺术对这里的艺术家来说是怎么样的？我觉得其实需要有一种，其实艺术家的这个创造呢，可能是它有一种时间性，或者是一种时代，能够做一种背景，在这种背景的竞争之下，你会产生一些动力。我基本上觉得，在我所走过的，政治力量、政治的控制力量很强大的国家，我觉得艺术家很可怜。尽管你可以去卖钱，但你接受的这个挑战和你接受的这个影响是不可比拟的。在这些政治力量和商业市场非常强大的国家，它是正比，等于你得到的支持是一个负数，这是这么计算。我觉得中国就是这样的一个国家，在发展的状态下，经济发展的状态下，我看到了艺术创造性的更多的对手，而不是相反，而不是一种支持的机会。所以反过来我看，当然这么清楚的街道，当然它在一个历史和一种它的这个资本主义很清楚是通过这个系统发展起来的一个城市里边，我也看到我感觉到这么一种情况，对于美国，对于费城的艺术家具有这么一种你不可以言喻的那种压力。
I think an artist have to experience some era or times in order for the work to have some power. In China, it's a very fastly developing economy. The pressure from politics or social, you know, environment, and also the pressure of the market, of commercial activity, of commercialization, and your creative powers is actually a counterforce. So that's what I feel in China, but when I come to America, when I, you know, like why I make the comment yesterday saying that, because I don't know, somehow I feel the same thing from the very clear cut streets, from, you know, the other things I feel. I feel maybe the artists here are facing the same thing, the very intense commercialization or economic pressure, and also very strong control of mind and politics. I ask myself this question sometimes, because, you know, I spend some of my times in Paris before you know, studying there, living there, and now I spend some of my time in Toronto. And, you know, it's I always have the feeling when I'm in, you know, in France or when I'm in Toronto, I always feel like I want to go back to Asia. You know, that's where I feel like I could make some more interesting work. But then it's and then I ask myself, but what then, so you can only be an artist when you're in China, so you can't make work if you are living elsewhere in, you know, not in your own land. I always like ask myself this question, why do I feel so much that I need to go back to China or Hong Kong? But it's hard to think. Then I ask myself, well, there's a lot of artists that are also creating work in, you know, in this environment. But I guess I feel it's not what Huang Rui said, that I think one part of it is, yeah, I think that the pressure of living is very, very high here. You know, it's very expensive to live, it's very expensive to make work, it's very expensive to, even if you just want to experiment with some materials. And so you have to be very careful about, you know, how you even just to experiment with some ideas. And another thing is, I think I just for me, it is interesting to always have actually this period of not being in China, because I sort of look at China or where I come from a very, it's almost like I'm jumping in and out. And actually, if I'm always in, I can't really see the in so clearly. But simply because I have this period of out, then, you know, both worlds seems more interesting for me. So actually my experience is always actually moving around and or actually constantly shifting this position. That's why I use the term China East, China West, and the thing about translation in my work is I'm always trying to shift my position. You know, it's funny, today I'm translating for Huang Rui, but I'm also trying to think and respond. And that's a constant position I'm in. I'm always trying to move between these boundaries. Yeah.
That itself suggests a performative practice. I was wondering if perhaps just to bring this kind of conversation more to a close, if you could talk about why the performance works that you're going to be showing at Slot, why the performative maneuver that you're going to be playing out on campus, you're going to be launching in the coming days, like why you arrived at these particular works. You know, we didn't really tell you what to do. We didn't curate in a typical way. We kind of extended an invitation, and you selected these works in response. And so could you talk a bit, like, why performance and why these performance works?
介绍一下为什么会选择，那你先介绍。你先说吧。我的作品呢，当然是跟易经有一些关系。这易经这个作品，我是从80年代就开始做了。那么，我也是想，寻找一种根源性的东西，这样呢，能够解决我对现实问题的一些迷惑，然后走向对易经的学习。 以后呢，1989出来了以后，我就不断把这个易经扩大化，因为很多人很不满意易经有64卦，它和这个六四是声音是发音是一样的，所以我一直就是把它平面作品扩大化，变成了装置，装置又变成了行为艺术，可是这也是正好是一个好处，易经呢是。它是一种自然宗教，这和我的这个信仰比较有关系。我是有信仰没宗教，所以自然宗教对于易经，依从自然的现象来解释人生的位置的时候，对我来说是最好不过了。那么我这个作品呢，同时也是很好的利用一种观看的方式来。
重新再现这个古代中国古代的一个智慧，而且我想我因为我这还是在一个过程里面，我逐渐要把它解释的在更多的角度上它有一个呈现出来，那呢也是对于所有传统啊或者是现实在中国产生的误会里边我表达另外一种看法。
嗯 ，Well, a major series of work that I'm showing is related to I Ching. I started making work about I Ching actually early in the 1980s already, and after 1989, the Junfov massacre, I continue to make more works about I Ching. You know, from installation to performance. And, well, because in I Ching there's 64 signs. How do you say zodiac? Signs? Exactly, 64 signs. And, you know, it corresponds to June 4th, 6-4, the two. So it's an interesting coincidence. So I was, that make it has a double meaning of, you know, both something coming from the traditional, very traditional culture of China, but also another political maybe meaning. So I've been maybe making performance and installations about it. And also I Ching is very much correspond to how I look at the world or how what my belief are, because I Ching is not a religion. I Ching is a belief.
And belief nature. Natural point.
Nature point of, you know, how from natural phenomenon we explain our position or what, you know, the daily, not daily, but what happened right now. So it's all from nature. So this corresponds very closely to my belief, because I don't have a religion, but I have a belief, and my belief is from nature, from this we can explain or look at our own behavior.
Maybe I know that it's a difficult task to do both, to translate yourself. And
no, let me just
maybe you
think.
Could, talk about Memory of Air as a way to talk about the other performance works as well that you'll be sharing with us, and why performance?
Oh, well, I've chose 4 performances. Why performances? Well, you said you wanted to do a show about a performance work. Well, then how?
Well, sorry, just
to put it into context, we've worked with a lot of performance artists at Slot over the years. But in a certain sense, we've often worked with kind of, let's say, more artists that are kind of pioneers of performance art. And we often have the sense that performance art is not necessarily the medium or the method by which artists in the States are negotiating contemporary conditions, whereas in Asia it seems to be directly the opposite. It seems that performance is precisely the medium or one of the mediums that artists, in a really exciting and vital way, it's one of the mediums by which, one of the gestures by which contemporary conditions are being negotiated. So it was kind of in that context that we have asked you
I don't know. I think maybe 5, 6, or, you know, 8, 9 years earlier, I would say yes. You know, there's a lot of performance festival going on in Asia, and in Beijing, in China, there's a lot of artists engaged in performance art practice. But you know what? I don't think it's the case right now. Maybe, you know, I don't know if Huang Rui agrees or Brandese agree. I think the people that are making performance artwork, even in Asia, from what I understand, is much less compared to before, whereas in America or even in Europe, I think there are actually, from what I see, more artists are engaging in performance art practice. And to answer your previous question, well, the works that I chosen this time, there are works that I've done in, you know, in a political or social protest kind of setting, one related to June 4th. Another one related to preservation of, you know, historical monuments in Hong Kong. And then there's another one that was done not in this kind of political, but it's in some kind of a festival setting in Jerusalem, where I also choose to work outside in the in the public setting where, you know, the festival is usually happening inside. And then there's one work that I've chosen that actually happened in a very formal kind of theater setting. So it's just a different, you know, ways of how I how I present what the different contexts that I present my performance work. But some of those gestures, a lot of the time are very, very simple, but a lot of time inspire or, you know, a result of a bigger social political conditions.
And if one comes back here in 2 days to this campus, what will we be seeing? Or without giving it away, like, what will you be performing in a sense?
Well, I'm going to do a series of projects in and around the campus. So again, there's something to do to negotiate about, you know, public signs and also the possibility of translation of language and also culture.
So you want to keep it vague?
Yeah.
Are there any other questions? I could pass the microphone.
Yes, just a question to Henry about, you mentioned at the beginning Manco and Beidao, who are great poets. Could you say a little more about your collaboration with them and how poetry impacts your visual work?
我们认识的其实是很早，当然是那个，我和芒克是算是同学，在一个学校里，我比他低一年，和北岛呢是他是我哥哥的一个同学，其实他们在学校里就已经开始，很早就是从文化革命刚刚开始。1967年有一个食指的一个叫食指的诗人，他开始写诗，写自由体，写独立诗，这样差不多是在60年代末期的时候，北岛、芒克都开始了，他们比我们要觉悟的多。可是我是1971年和北岛认识以后，以后我们就经常在一起活动。那个时候，因为我正在学画画，这样呢，就是参加了一些沙龙。他们诗里边其实有一个非常清楚的个人存在，就是对于个人他当时的声音的注意啊，就是他的声音，就包括两点，一个就是他需要是，我是独立的，我现在可以表达我个人的感情。再一个呢是形式感，这样等于我们是在周围的环境里，这种传统的艺术，哪怕是现实主义绘画、社会主义现实绘画里头，全部都不存在具有的这种因素。
I know Beidao and Manke very, very early, very young. Manke is actually my classmate, but he's one class higher than me, and Beidao is actually the classmate of my brother. So in the 60s, there's a poet called Shizi, well, a stone. Well, he's already written a lot of poems, free-form poems, independent poems. So Beidao and Manke already read his poems, and they're much more enlightened or, you know, open much earlier than we are. And I met Beidao in 1971, and after that we hang out a lot together. What I read from the poems at that time is the individualism of it. Is you can feel that they are an individual, they are expressing themselves as an individual, and I have my feelings. And this is something that we don't, or at that time already learning painting, and this is something you don't see in any of the paintings, those social realist paintings that are being painted at that time in China a lot, is this, you know, individualism in the work.
在晚了很多年，在这本画册里边，我还是画那种非常具体的素描呢。
Many years later, if you can see in this catalog, I'm still drawing some very realistic kind of drawings.
那个时候我非常羡慕他们，他们能够自由的，我觉得这有一点得天独厚的东西，一个是自由的寻取西方的现代的诗，如果他们说他们去看一个像叶芝啊、聂鲁达啊什么这样的诗，在那个时候你可以在内部书店里买到这样的书，但是你买不到任何一本超越文艺复兴以前的西方的绘画的画册，以后的这个西方的绘画画册。另一方面，我觉得中国诗体有一个很好的传统。
At that time, I'm very jealous of them because, you know, at that time it's available that they could go and buy in bookstore poem of Yeats, poem of Neruda is available to them. But for us, it's impossible to find any catalogs after Renaissance. And so it's something that, you know, we don't have that kind of access to what happened outside.
我觉得最重要就是你如果你要想表达自己，你就需要一种空灵感，你自由自在，像风一样。
He also said that the Chinese tradition of poetry is also very, very good. And for me, I think what is important in expressing yourself is this complete freedom. Is he used a term almost like a space that is empty, but anything could happen. This free spirit is very important.
可是我现在回过头来，我觉得在那个时候，像所有的在中国环境里长大和训练出来的艺术家一样，我经历了一段非常基本功的很长时间的基本功练习，现在仍旧对我有好处。
But of course, when I look back right now, like a lot of other Chinese artists and painters, we have a very long time that are being trapped or that are being trained in this very basic and straight kind of a painting tradition. I think it's a good thing for me now, a good training.
Thank you.